ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's an average Wednesday on The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel as we kick it off and let it fly. Fellas, what's going on?
What's up?
What'd it do?
Different look for you, Laminack.
Yeah, you wanted the hat. I gave you the hat,
like
even
that.
Though it was a barber day.
Yeah, I walked into the wrong side of the hat, but yeah.
What do you mean?
I was over on the culture map side, and I came back in, and you had the hat on, but you were leaning over the desk to get to Tyler, and you were basically cracking half your underwear showing. I was like, I hope that wasn't the holy pair. I just kept going. I was like,
plumber button it.
Oh,
a little bit.
Why are you staring at my ass, Joel?
I didn't have any choice, Barry.
No.
It was like up over the desk. Like
you look like. Okay, I'm not gonna say.
You got a chub, didn't you?
Nope.
You
I am not John Cena doing wrestling. I just walked by and went, "Well, I got the wrong side of Barry. I'll catch up with him at one."
Yeah, that's my bad. That happened. I didn't have on a long enough shirt today. And these pants, I don't wear belts, so.
Boy, I got a
little underwear crack will happen every now and then.
And that was like the second time I had walked by. You weren't there the first time I walked by, but I walked by and Tyler is out.
Sleep?
Hand on his chin with his headsets in, sleeping, mouth open, the whole works. And I just stopped for a second to look and he woke up and he looked at me like I did something wrong.
Death
he didn't
stare.
Even say anything and he went,
death
scowled
stare,
at me and then just, I was like, wow, bro, it's not that big of a deal.
Nice.
It happens to the best of us.
Nice. Way to piss off the APD, bro.
Do nothing and get the ass end of it. So twice I got the ass end by just walking into the bullpen.
Well, did y'all get your list in for way back?
Nope.
Hmm.
I mean, I got a good set amount of songs in my head in the event y'all went with the Houston thing.
You never sent us a theme, Nick.
Well, I just waited.
We kind of just got quiet when we talked about the passing of Bushwick Bill.
We threw a lot of different ideas out there, so did the listeners.
No one came up with the theme.
Yeah, isn't that your responsibility, though?
No.
As the show producer, it's not your responsibility.
Not really.
Really? What? Well, then what is your responsibility?
I thought it was your segment. I'm like, I'm just waiting every time I come up with an idea, it gets crapped on. So
That's not true.
I'm just going to let you guys
every time you come up
it.
With an idea, we execute
it. Wow. All right. So now we know from now on if
it's Throwback Thursday.
If we don't know. If, wow. All right. So if we don't come up with something before we leave, it's not happening.
This is on me.
I thought you were going to give us a list yesterday.
I'm asking. Is this on me?
I thought so.
Oh, okay.
Is it not? Is it you, Joel?
I think we...
It's certainly not me.
I think a few weeks...
I'm totally innocent.
Yes. Huh? I think a few weeks ago, we had come to the conclusion that if we didn't have something, that Nick would then be the guy to step up and say, either we do 2006 or we do this.
Right.
Look, I can go the first hour if y'all want.
It's a little late.
Give y'all a whole hour to come up with
eight songs.
Then
we're going to have to really multitask.
This week. Just not happening.
Barry and I would be fighting.
2 weeks in a row. I feel like we're
every
falling
commercial
apart
break.
Here.
No, screw you. No, I get Flock of Seagulls. No, you get Talking Heads. Okay, great.
I did notice that you had a link to some songs from
99. They said the 20 best songs from 99.
And
there was a few on that you like on there. I know that you liked a few on there.
That was like a good top 20. So, I mean, we can just play that, but it's all dead now. It's over.
Well, good.
It's whatever.
You guys would have lost anyway.
It's not like I lose sleep if I lose. I get that treatment pretty much every week.
Yeah. So.
And since we're not doing the poll anymore, it helps.
Yeah, it does.
So good. So what else is going on?
You know, just living the dream, man. I'm a little depressed again today.
Why?
Found out my home club is closing down.
Your home?
Joke joint.
Oh, really?
This weekend is the last weekend, and
it'll
be closing.
Didn't they just remodel or something?
They're going to get the Fuke way out of here?
Huh?
Get the Fuke way out of here. They're going bye-bye?
You're
going
to wear that out.
No.
Yes, this is their last weekend. This is it.
Yeah, weren't they moving or remodeling?
They had moved to a new location, and then I guess they were trying, because they were struggling a little bit in the location they were at, and they were trying to to add a second stage and a restaurant and a bar, and things just don't work out, man. That's why, you know, we talk about supporting local artists, supporting local venues. I mean, that's what happens. If people don't go, you can't sustain the business. So
that sucks.
Yeah, man. It's my home club. It's where I started. And yeah, all of my first guest set at a club, my first hosting weekend, feature weekend, headlining weekend. So it's a big loss. I know not to most people, but to the comedy community in this city, it's a big loss. And it sucks because we're the fourth largest city in America. And we have two comedy clubs. Dallas has seven comedy clubs. We have two.
Really?
And one of them isn't even full-time. And I love the Secret Group and what those guys do. But it's not just a dedicated comedy club like the Improv or the Joke Joint was. They'll have like DJ nights and karaoke and rock concerts and all those other things. And it's great because they still do a ton. They do more shows than anybody, I feel like, even if they're not full-time comedy. Mm-hmm. But to not have a room that's dedicated to only have one room in the city this size that's fully dedicated to comedy.
It's funny you mentioned, though, that
it's not, it's bad. That's
that Dallas
real
has
bad.
What, seven, and Houston only has two? Because when I first moved here, there were several, right? There were
at one point at its peak, Houston was considered one of the meccas of comedy in this country. There were 10 comedy clubs in
on
this
West
town.
Gray. There was that one, mm-hmm, which then turned into Local Pour, which is where I had my first date with Lisa, and I drove by this weekend and realized
it's a dry cleaner
that's been knocked down for a high rise.
Oh wow!
So that's gone.
Okay.
Then you head over to the Marquee Center.
Yeah. Well, there's been a ton. There was the Last Stop, the Last Spot, the Workshop. There was all kinds of.
Has it always been the Joke Joint?
It was the Joke Joint, but it wasn't always in that location. Okay. And then it was called the Comedy Showcase.
Okay.
And then they changed it to the Joke Joint Comedy Showcase. But it's one of those things, man. It's it sucks when you see stuff like that because we should have more comedy in the city. As Absolutely. Big as we are, you know, for Dallas to have three Hyenas and two Improvs alone, that's just five big clubs right there. And then they have this place called the Backdoor Comedy Club. No jokes.
Nope. Thought about it. Not going to do it.
Which is all clean comedy, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at the back door.
Okay.
Go ahead. You can have
no,
that
not going to do it. Then people are going to get offended no matter what I say. No. So, no.
And then I forget there's one other one, but there's seven up there. And, you know, we have comedy here and we have a bunch of open mics and all that. But just for the simple fact that there's literally only one place now to go and get comedy Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights for sure. And that's the Houston Improv. Because sometimes the Secret Group won't have.
Houston Improv's at the Marquee?
Yeah.
See, because here's what I was going to say.
And I like what the guys do up the Improv. It's an A room and they're great, yeah, even though they don't book me, which also
I've
sucks.
I've seen
because
a lot of shows there.
Yeah, well, the one club that worked me in this town is gone, so that sucks.
And here's the other thing. We got into with the FEF Fridays, mm-hmm, you bringing in the whole Comedian of the Week, mm-hmm, for a multitude of reasons, and one of them being, hey, Houstonians need to open their eyes and realize what great comedians we have under our noses and in this area.
Yeah.
And then we also thought with that it might cultivate maybe some more clubs opening or more people getting involved and more people coming to shows, like you said, at the Joke Joint and all these other things. And now we're sitting here having this conversation, and it's like, that's a shame because fourth largest city in America, and we like to think that we're so on top of everything culturally and in so many different ways, and you know, metropolitan areas, mm-hmm, and then you have numbers like that that are now going down because of another comedy club going by the wayside. It's just a shame.
It really is, man. It sucks. This year alone, two of the main clubs that I've worked, which was the Joke Joint and then the River Center Improv in San Antonio, both closed. So maybe I'm bad luck. Maybe it's my fault.
Well, Nick, brace
maybe
yourself.
I'm the guy.
It's coming.
I'm thirsty of it, though, man, because I was a guy that always said, man, I love going to see stand-up comedy, but I really didn't go as much as I should have, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's
when
funny
you start
how
working with one, you don't have to go anymore.
Well, that's true, too. But the karaoke industry is alive and well. I would have thought that industry would struggle first before comedy, but I was clearly wrong, or at least in the city.
Yeah, I think that the cost to do a karaoke room is cheaper because you don't have the overhead of comics and hotels, mm-hmm, and everything. You just, mm-hmm, a speaker and a screen and a, yep, mic, and you just get a bunch of drunk people, and they're the entertainment. So the entertainment is actually spending the money, too. So it's in that regard, I think it's a lot. The business model makes sense because it's sure. The overhead and the capital required is a lot different. But yeah, man, it's you know, it's not just Houston though. This is happening across the country. We're seeing more and more comedy clubs.
What's Austin like?
Closing down. Why? They have one club. It's Cap City.
And what makes it even worse is that it's not conveniently located. So if I do want to
joke
go,
joint,
I mean, for me, I mean, yeah, I live in Mo City. It's a 45-minute drive. Yeah, if I want to go south. To Joke Joint, it's at least a 30-minute drive if I want to go to improv.
Yeah, my home club was almost an hour away, and so it certainly was not in a convenient location. That is 1,000% the battle that they fought week in and week out was location. And you know, sometimes you can't do anything about that.
Can you guys
just up and move.
Can you guys that are in this community get together, and Andy and everybody else, and kind of,
I mean,
try and figure it out?
The wrong people to have running a business like that is comedians.
I'm not saying you guys start the business.
We would be the worst at it. I mean, like, we can start rooms. There's guys, like, I've thought about for the longest time is doing a monthly comedy show and just, you know, once a month booking a room, and whether it was going to be at the Joke Joint or the Improv or at a, you know, at some place, whether it's, you know, at a brewery and bounce around or whatever it is. I've thought about doing stuff like that, but it doesn't make up for bringing in touring acts and then getting local comedians to open for those touring acts and having a weekend. I could do a show a month and I could probably market that, promote it, sustain it, and it would be a nice little one show. But, I mean, you got to remember, the Joke Joint was providing shows for feature acts 3, 4, 5 times a year. I headlined twice last year, plus I featured. So, I mean, there was a lot of work that they were giving to comics that don't necessarily get that work at the Houston Improv. Houston Improv, it's up to them whether they work local comics or not. And sometimes they don't have a choice because the touring acts bring their own comics.
Oh,
so the Joke Joint at least was a place where we could go and get work. And now that's gone. So a lot of the local acts, man, It's gonna affect everybody, and how you know, now you've got to go work the road even more to
now,
be
able
to survive.
Were you aware that they were gonna close, or
did... So I was. A lot of people didn't know, but Ken and I are really good friends, and he had texted me and said, "Hey, this is probably gonna happen." So I was aware, but he had asked me not to say anything to anybody. So I didn't. I didn't. None of my comedian friends did I tell. Or
that's a tough situation for you to be in, too, because you're helpless. Yeah. You want to do something. You want to help. You want to act out. You can't.
Yeah. It sucks to know that, because people are like, "Oh, I'm going to the Joke Joint this weekend." I'm like, well, go enjoy it. Go have fun. Now, I will say they did. This is the last weekend this weekend. And so they're bringing in all of the comics that have worked there in the past, and kind of it's been their home club. So he asked me to close out the final show. So
at 10:30
Saturday.
That's cool. That's
yeah,
very cool.
I'll be doing that show. So that'll be cool. But yeah, man, it sucks. And this is happening everywhere. So
damn. Well, that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what doesn't suck? Money.
True.
Money doesn't suck. And that's what GetUpside does, man. If you want to get cash back when you go and eat out, dude, download GetUpside. Put it on your phone right now. It's completely free. And put in my promo code Barry first. So when you download it, it's in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Once you get it downloaded and you get logged in, put in my promo code BARRY, and that's going to get you an extra bonus cashback offer on your first fill up through the app. But let's not talk about the gas portion of GetUpside for a second. Let's talk about the food, because you're eating out, you know, 2, 3, 4 times a week probably at work or when you get home, and why not get some cash back for that? They've got Wendy's, Popeyes, and Burger King, just to name a few of the restaurants that exist inside the GetUpside app, and hundreds of locations around the city that you can use this at. And so you go into Wendy's, and I know that there's a Wendy's in town that offers the maximum of 35%, because listeners have told me that that exists. So can you imagine going to this Wendy's and you spend $10 and you get $3.50 back? And man, you do that a couple times, you're paying for one of your meals every week. So don't leave money at the table. And if you were buying your food at Wendy's and they were like, "Oh, by the way, here's another $3.50 back from what you just gave us," you're absolutely going to take it. So that's what the beautiful thing about GetUpside is. It's just money you're already spending that you get to get back later. All you got to do is pay with a debit card, upload your receipt. It's literally that easy. A lot of us are using it here at the station. We got listeners that are sending us screenshots of their accounts. No reason for you not to get on board right now. Go download GetUpside, put it on your phone, put in my promo code Barry, start getting that cash back. Thank me later.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go, segment two of the show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Wednesday in the big city. Hopefully you're having a good day and you're taking us wherever you may go around town and or if you have the app around this country. Obviously lots of sports to get to, but we always like to kind of break the ice and a lot of people... I mean, it hit me, and I'm not even a comedian, but Barry opened up with the fact that they're shutting down his home club.
Yeah,
totally. And it's a club that's helped us a lot with guests and having some pretty cool comedians in the studio, along with, obviously, Barry spearheads it, but they're great. They were supportive. So we've got a couple of calls we're going to get to. They want to get in on all this, but, I mean, not that the suspects can save the day, but, you know, maybe they can.
Yeah, I think it's beyond that. But, hey, Corey wants to talk about it. Corey, what's up, man? Corey.
Hey, so I had a friend of mine about 2 years ago, Ashton Womack. He was a comedian.
Yep.
Moved to New York. Moved to New York, and I talked to him about it because we worked together. He said, he's like, yeah, man, it's just I'm not feeling the Houston scene right now.
Yep.
I'm not feeling it. Like, New York has Broadway. L.A. has Hollywood. I'm not feeling it. Do you think there's a reason why? That Houston just isn't enthusiastic about comedy, but if there's like an underlying symptom, I'll hang up and listen to your take.
I appreciate it, Corey. You know, I don't know what it is. I know that at one point this was a great town for comedy, and that has since gone by the wayside. And I don't know why that's occurred. I can't really pinpoint. I know that the people that do come to the shows seem to really like it. But he's right. Ashton is 1,000% right that if you really want to make it in this business, you can't do it from Houston. Now, there are exceptions, and Ali Sadiq is a nationally touring headliner, famous big name, mm-hmm. and he did it all from Houston, but he's the rare exception. Guys like me and Ashton and the other comics that are struggling, you've got to be in LA or New York really to make it, because that's where the opportunity is. There's no industry here. There's no, and when I say industry, there's no Comedy Central. There's no, you know, there's sure. no big productions that take place.
I was going to say,
there's nothing
here. If you get noticed or someone sees you in Houston, it's who do I call in New York or LA, as opposed to being in New York and LA right. and having all the different production shows, opportunities, movies, everything else. But it's just a shame because, like I said, I mean, I brag to everybody all the time about, it's the soon-to-be third largest city in America. Mm-hmm. But it's so much easier to live here than New York or L.A., yet there's still such a great network of people and the ability to do things. Then you hear something like this and you're like, man, I think Houston's missing the boat and letting something slide away from them that they could be not – they don't have to necessarily be known for it.
Well, we were at one point. This city was known.
You said that they were. So, I mean, why wouldn't you want to keep that going?
I couldn't tell you, man. If I knew, I think if everybody knew why, and that's what Corey was saying, why is comedy not succeeding in this town? I don't know. I don't know if it's because it's so spread out that you would have to have a club. You would have to have clubs all over town to make it more convenient for people. Because people don't want to drive from the Woodlands and Spring to go to the Joke Joint on 45 right. South and Fuquay. So you've got a, you know, your market is limited to Clear Lake, Pearland, League City, stuff like that. And the same is true. Like, people don't want to go from Pearland to the Marquee Center necessarily, but they're getting bigger names. So you might go if the name that you really love as a comedian is at the Houston Improv, you make that drive. That becomes a deal. But you're only going out one night a year, and that's not going to sustain.
I meant to ask you,
multiple comedy clubs.
Are the ticket prices different in New York and L.A. than they would be in Houston?
The shows themselves are different, yeah. So, I mean, ticket pricing and the way that they do it can be different. New York and L.A. do a lot of showcase shows. Like, if you go right now, the mecca of comedy, at least on the West Coast, is the Comedy Store. And it's a showcase room. So you'll see guys go up and do a 10 to 15 minute set instead of a traditional show, which is a headliner, a feature, and then a host, a feature, and a headliner. Okay. There, at the Comedy Store, you might see 7 or 8 people go up, but it's all famous comics. It's Joe Rogan and then Ari Shaffir, and then, you know, like one after the other of guys that tour that people know about and they all do 10 to 15. So you, the value you're getting for paying for that show,
sure,
completely different than the rest of the country.
Gotcha. Scott, you want to get in here on the Comedy Club Theory. What's up?
Yeah, man. Quick question. You said this wasn't just happening here in Houston. What do you think the impact there is on, like, Netflix? And, you know, I'm constantly hearing, too, when people go to shows, people are a lot more sensitive nowadays, so they don't quite find the humor in things. What do you think about those two things impacting it?
Hey, I appreciate it, Scott. Yeah, both of those are really valid points. People can consume comedy now on their phones in 3 minutes. You know, you've got Instagram comedians and YouTube comedians and Facebook comedians, and they put out 1 minute videos, and it's people don't necessarily, I think my theory is people don't want to spend 90 minutes consuming comedy as much as they can look at their phone and then go about their business at their house and never have to leave. You can sit down and watch a new Netflix special every weekend and never have to leave your house and consume new comedy. Do I think that Netflix is having something to do with it? I think a little bit, but remember, HBO back in the day would release comedy specials, and Showtime and Comedy Central. Everyone thought Comedy Central was going to run stand-up comedy at the clubs, but it's just not the case. That didn't happen. So I'm not going to blame Netflix. I just think, yes, people are consuming comedy a lot differently. Look, there's plenty of clubs that maintain around this country. So I don't know what it is about Houston specifically. But yeah, they're also, yeah, the comedy crowds are a lot more sensitive nowadays. But that doesn't stop them from going in other cities.
Just like listeners.
True that.
Hey, half hour in, plenty more to get to, lots going on. We've got NHL Finals, Game 7 tonight. Are
yeah.
we fired up?
Oh, man, I can't wait to watch that team and the other team.
Yeah, St. Louis, Boston.
Yeah.
Just follow the Boston sideline reporter. It's all you got to do. All right, so we've got that. Women's National Team Soccer, what? We're going to talk about that?
I think
we kind of have to.
Your boy Yordan done it again.
And yeah, I saw someone tweet you Yordong.
Yeah.
For the home run.
God, it's
a Yordong.
It's the Springer Dinger thing
I was
again.
Thinking, and well, Barry's going to hate that.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Lots to have fun with on a Wednesday. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Wednesday. Hopefully you're having a great day out there. Still no humidity, but it is still hot.
Oh, it was nice last night.
Last night, the last two mornings. I take the dogs for the walk now earlier, and when they said no humidity, I'm like, yeah, right. And I got out there the last two mornings on the walk, and I was like, man, this if it was like this, it'd be great.
Yeah, I wasn't going to do anything when I got home, and then I took the trash out, and it wasn't hot. And I was like, well, I guess I'm going to weed eat the ditches. Take advantage of it while I can. So that's what I did for my night. Yay. Fun night.
Sweet.
I did get to watch the Astros. My wife ruined it for me. So I set it to record.
Oh, record?
Yes. I set it to record.
Okay.
And I was going to go in and start.
Oh, that's right. My bad is when I say I tape it.
Yes.
Got it.
I was set it to record. And I was going to go in and after I was done with the yard, eat and watch it. My wife comes out while I'm weeding. And she's like, hey, she got home late. She's like, hey, I'm home. I was like, hey, babe. She's like, Astros winning 4-2 and walk off. I was like, really? You're just going to ruin it for me? Now I don't get to watch any of that.
They just forward to the point of where it's 4-2.
I'm just watching the scoring. I was like, no, way to go, babe. You just ruined it all. But there was plenty more scoring to watch.
Yeah, lots of scoring, lots of entertainment. Thought I'd miss Blummer because I still don't agree with this whole AT&T philosophy that everyone has to take in-season breaks.
Yeah, that's stupid. Why do they do that? I don't understand.
I don't get it either. So Julia did it early. I guess she's got another series coming up. Blummer's doing it for this series, and then he has one more. Callis is also going to do it. I mean, when you think about it, unless you're like the old Bill Worrell back in the day where he was doing Astros and Rockets and everything else, then you need a break. But if you're just doing it during your season, why do you need a break?
Yeah, I don't understand that. I wish, we can't because, you know,
because other stations got petty.
But I would love to ask Jeff Blum why that is. I don't think he would tell us because, you know, Blummer's not the kind of guy that's going to air dirty laundry. But
I'm going direct message.
He couldn't message him.
He can't do it on the air because of 790's pettiness. But I'm going direct message. Hey, and you know what else? He's off this week. So guess what? I'm really doing it. I'm going
to
find out.
Yeah, I'd like
the philosophy behind it. So carry on.
So yeah, last night I was balls were flying out of the yard all over the place, and yeah, I had to be very careful about that. And I said my concern was when JV was going to pitch that would happen. So I wasn't expecting what happened last night to happen. Davinsky, let's just start it off with the fact that I thought Peacock, you know, pitched okay. Mm-hmm. He kept them in it, and that's really all you can ask for sometimes. What I didn't understand, though, is you're up, 10?
To 4 or 10 to 5?
Yeah. At one point, they were up 10 to 4. Why are you running out, you know, Preslick? I would be running other folks out there. Mm-hmm. Rogers or somebody else in the bullpen.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't be using these other guys first and Rondon. Yeah, I mean, so that was kind of curious. And then, of course, when the bullpen starts to collapse, it really messed things up because now you've got to run Presley out there in a high leverage situation and use him for 1/3 of an inning, which that sucks. I was hoping I wouldn't have had to have seen Harris, Presley, or Osuna. And you saw 2 of the 3 last night. So kind of curious why that was the case, why Harris was your go-to. To get those last 2 outs of that inning, it was such a big lead. I think I would have let that marinate a little bit, but okay, that's fine. Not that big of a deal, but I think even Lance Berkman was talking about the fact that later in the season, that could nights like tonight can have an adverse effect on your bullpen long term, because tonight should have been a night with as big a lead as they had where everybody got some rest, and you just put in a middle relief guy to go in there and get you 3 or 4 innings, but didn't happen. Okay, no big deal.
You know what happened, Barry?
Uh-oh.
Air Yordan went yard.
I knew this was going to happen.
The Yordonger.
This was going to happen. No. Here's the thing. And fortunately, I think everyone understood what I was saying yesterday and on Sunday when he played. And it's not that I'm not suggesting that he's not good. I'm not suggesting that he doesn't have what it takes to potentially be a star one day. My thing has been, let's just let that kid develop. It's been 1 game now, 2 games. Do you know that they interviewed people after the game?
Who did?
At Minute Maid. There were people like the news reporters. There were fans leaving the game suggesting that Yordan Alvarez is a Hall of Famer. This is why I get like upset about that stuff. Not that you want to cheer and be excited that he's hit 2 home runs in 2 games, and there's no reason that ball should have went out, by the way. That was ridiculous.
It was a laser.
It was ridiculous. It was like, oh my God, is this the Astros Aaron Judge? Is this what we're seeing? Is this the Astros Aaron Judge?
I compared it a little bit the other day, but literally just in size and stature, you can kind of see it. But if he keeps doing this...
I mean, he very well could be, but can we just not get on the news and start claiming he's a Hall of Famer after 2 games? Yeah. I realize that he's, in a sense, batting 1,000 because he's hit a home run every game. It's not going to be the case.
I thought you were going to say that they were clamoring for me on the All-Star team, which in itself would have been ludicrous.
Would have been so Houston.
But the fact that we're talking Hall of Fame just shows you the lack of sports knowledge by a lot of these news departments in this city.
Well, not even the news department. All they can do is ask the questions. This is people, fans, leaving Minute Maid, people that paid their hard-earned money to walk out and go, yeah, he's going to make it to the Hall of Fame. Okay. Didn't Richard Hidalgo hit 2 home runs in his first game ever?
Well, this is a franchise record for the first time ever that a guy called up hit home runs in his first 2 games.
Sure.
So that's great. One thing. But yeah, I mean, when you look at it, and again, we kind of just try and stabilize everybody by saying, look, you talk about, you go right up and down the list. Springer, for all the hype, when he first got here, he struggled to get going. Yeah. Bregman, we all know, went through a monumental struggle before he figured it out.
Yeah.
So it's not like this is the norm that a guy does this, but it's also kind of a warning for fans to go, don't jump too fast, too quick. It's going to be a process.
Right. I will say this, though. Your boy.
Who's my boy now?
Tyler White.
Oh, yeah. I thought about that, too. I thought either you were going to tweet me or I was going to tweet you. But I was like, look the hell out. I
Your
do like the fact that
one. Your boy
he got,
a
haircut, so he's lighter.
Yep.
And then he goes yard and Springer starts
giving him
doing
the haircut.
The haircut.
Yeah. You know what's sad, though? You know what's the most sad thing about it?
Tell me.
Is Tyler White for the season has 130 at-bats and two home runs.
Has two games.
Like six at-bats, two home runs.
Man.
So, yeah.
I'm not too far off base.
No. But it's just weird to me more than anything, and this is what I was talking about earlier in the season when I was suggesting that they not bring up Yordan Alvarez yet, was that you didn't want this kid just sitting around. You didn't want him just being a DH, and that's all he's doing right now. Because, as I had mentioned at the time, there was really no place for him defensively to play. He doesn't have enough reps at first base. You already got a couple guys there that aren't really true first basemen kicking the ball around a little bit. I mean, Muley does a good job, but Tyler White leaves a little to be desired. But because of injuries, he's forced to be in there. He would normally be DHing. And then in left field, you got Brantley, and you're not going to take away playing time to put in a guy as bad in left field as Yordan Alvarez would be compared to a guy like Michael Brantley. So that was the concern, is where does he play? So now you've got this kid up that all he does is just go out there and swing the bat. And I don't know how that's going to affect him, but that would be a little bit of a concern for me. But if he's resigned to the fact that at 21, his role in the majors is a DH from here on out, that's great. But
Charlie's got guys on saying you're going to see him every night at one of the corner outfield positions or DH.
Who said that?
Whoever he had on, one of his guests today that was talking baseball and analyzing baseball, like a baseball
writer
expert
or something,
was breaking that down.
Who are you sitting?
I guess you're rotating
him to DH. You're gonna take Josh Reddick's glove out of the outfield and put him in right field. You're gonna take Michael Brantley's glove and put him at, like,
that's what I'm saying.
Who are you sitting?
As much as I know these guys are experts and everything else, unless you're watching this team every day and realizing why they are so successful, and one of the things, like you said, is their defense. And the way that their outfield meshes together and plays. And the gentleman's name was Mike Petralio. I don't know. MLB.com and ESPN. And he was like, you're going to see him in one of those corner outfield positions. And I was like, I'm going to say no.
Yeah. You've got two other guys named Derek Fisher and Miles Straw who can also
Jake Marisnick, who's
play
not,
the outfield.
Obviously with injuries, he's been playing. But
yeah.
You got to find room for all those guys. And the other thing is,
it's going to be...
No, but we forget about the fact that Yuli plays a great first base. Mm-hmm. Tyler White, not so much.
Great. Good.
I'm not even going... Okay, you use a G word, but I'm not using great or good.
What?
It's serviceable.
No. I'm talking Yuli.
Oh.
I wouldn't say great. He plays a good
Scoops
first base.
Scoops well, though, I think.
Okay.
But at the same time, I think
fields it better than he
Tyler
plays
White's all-star material at first base if you're going to put him up against Alvarez at first.
I would agree with that. Because he had limited reps in the minors, too.
Yeah.
So he's
good at the DH, but...
I tell you, I would not want to be Jeff Luno and A.J. Hinch when this squad is healthy.
No doubt I was thinking that.
Because you've got to make decisions. You're going to have to send down Fisher, Straw, and possibly Alvarez. Or if Tyler White is out
then
of
you
got to
release him.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, or trade him.
But because Alvarez has options, I think you've gotten a taste and you can say, hey, look, if we maybe we carry this kid and carry one less pitcher when all is
True.
Said and done. Or maybe we send him down and, hey, you'll be back up in September where you're going to be on the playoff roster. Have no fear. Like, because you can leave Tyler White off the playoff roster if mm-hmm. you want to. And you can
That's
add
good point.
Alvarez.
Because you remember that Straw made the playoff roster last
right.
year. So, it's not like because you're just a September call-up, you can't make the postseason.
That's right. So you can say, hey, look, if Kemp is still underperforming at the plate and you don't need him and Aledmys Diaz is back and can be your infielder at need at any position, then maybe you leave Kemp and White off the playoff roster and you add Alvarez and Straw or Alvarez and Fisher, depending on how you want to go. So there's definitely options then, but this is also why I was like, why start the clock if you're just going to send him down? Because
right.
you're either going to lose Tyler White. At this point, you're either going to lose Tyler White or send down Alvarez, or you're going to have to make the call to go with one less pitcher. And the way that their rotation has been pitching, I don't think that would be a wise move. They need arms in the bullpen.
Or they have enough to make a move where they move somebody else and it frees up some space with a trade.
Two for one.
Right.
Send something two guys, like get one back.
Yeah, something okay. like that. Yeah, so that something be... to consider. So,
sure.
We'll continue to talk some baseball. We need to get to the fact that Lance Berkman filling in for Jeff Blummer.
That was a lot of fun.
Was good.
Yeah.
And we've got Baggy now from in short doses. Now we've got Berkman. I think it's great. So we'll talk about that, see what you guys thought about that as well. Before we head to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. I told you guys I made the switch about 2 years ago. I don't regret it because I have saved thousands and you can too. And it is a locally owned and operated company that's getting the highest ratings you can possibly get. 5 out of 5 stars from the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. That's a good thing. That means that you get that kind of service and that attention to detail, and it's all from Infuse. They have the best rate they can possibly get you and the best deals, and they're never going to try and screw you over. The fact of the matter is, when you call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, or log on to InfuseEnergy.com, but when you call, you're going to get a human being, not an automated system. They're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them because they want to pinpoint when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for your home? Is it for your business? Until they can get you the best rate and the best deal. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, you get a $25 bill credit right off the top, and it'll go from there, and you'll enjoy the process because they are always going to be honest, and you can always trust them. Even if there's another company out there that can beat their rates, they'll let you know that, so maybe you don't go with them then, but you remember you could trust them, so you'll be back at some point because they never want you to feel like you weren't completely taken care of with customer service. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and also 100% green energy at your fingertips. Infuse energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, we're rolling through the first hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you always being a suspect. We do love our suspects for the most part, and you guys are loyal to us and always helpful as you listen along. So participate, won't you? 713-780-3776. Text, call. Hit us up on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at the producer Nick as we roll through another show. We were talking Astros. I did want to get to the fact that I really enjoyed Lance Berkman, as I think you did too, Barry. But before we do that, since we were talking about the state of the roster and what could happen when everybody's healthy, Tyler wants to get in here on Astros trade options. Let's see what he's got. Tyler,
hey, what's up, fellas? How are we doing?
What up, man? How are you?
Man, living the dream, guys. Yeah, hey, I just wanted to call. I've been talking to just friends and people at work about it. Right now, everybody being hurt, you know, and getting some of these minor league guys up, I think it's really good for the potential packaging options, you know, to package them up and ship them out. But with that, I mean, at this point, I wouldn't mind getting rid of Kyle Tucker. Nobody really knew Yordan Alvarez was going to be any better than Kyle Tucker at this point last year. I mean, he's 21. He's shooting up the ranks pretty quick. You've also got a couple pitchers. I want to hold on to Corbin Martin. Maybe he makes the postseason roster between, you know, like a mid reliever, like a 7 to 8 guy or 6 to 7 guy, because he can never go longer than 2 or 3 innings or 70 pitches. But I think that if we were to move somebody, I think it should be for pitching. Just wanted to see what you guys thought. If there was a hole, of course, it would be the starting pitcher, but maybe I don't see it if we keep Alvarez, but maybe a bat, maybe a defensive glove or something. But for the most part, we have probably the best infield in baseball besides the first baseman. But y'all take it easy, and I just wanted to see what y'all think.
Thanks, Tyler. Appreciate the call. Barry, you go first. I mean, we break this down all the time.
Yeah, I think if you're going to make the move, it's got to make sense from an organizational standpoint. Are you going to get rid of a prospect that you're not in a hurry to either rush to the majors or to move, like a guy like Tucker? You can let him figure it out. Because remember, too, you don't just go out and make trades for rentals if you're as deep as this team is. This team doesn't – let me preface this by saying this team doesn't have to make a move right now to win a World Series. They could stand pat with the talent that they have at the major league level that they're now, that they would be getting back after injury, and on the farm system, they have enough talent to win the World Series. So you don't have to go out and make a move where you get rid of prospects to get a rental. You don't have to do that. Now, if you want to go out and get a guy that's got a year or two of team control left, that might be a different story. The one thing you can look at, though, is this team, if any team needs anything, it's always going to be pitching. I think offensively this team is deep, and you wouldn't want to make a move for a guy for a bat. I mean, what are you going to go get, a DH? You kind of already have some of those. You're not going to go get an outfielder because you've got a plethora of outfielders that defensively, when they – what'd you used to call that the Rockets lineup? What'd you call it?
The Suicide Squad.
Yeah, you could do that with Mariznick, Straw, and Fisher. So you've got power. You've got, you know, you've got everything you need offensively. So I don't see them making a trade for a bat. That would surprise me if they did. If they did anything, it would be for a starter. And I don't think you're giving up Tucker or any of your other top prospects to get a four, to get a three.
No.
Why would you do that?
Again, you've got those guys. It depends on who you get and how long you'll have control of who you get, because of the fact that, like you said, you're in a position of strength. You've got a world-class team on the field right now at the major league level, but you've also built up a better-than-average, really good farm system with a lot of top prospects. And I know that everybody's going to jump on, and Barry and I have been preaching this, to be patient, because at some point Alvarez is going to come down to earth a little bit. The fact of the matter is that everybody was all over Kyle Tucker a year ago. The year before that, it was Derek Fisher. And just as easy as they can get to the majors and fail, we're seeing a different Fisher this time where he's come around. You don't know if Tucker, the second time around, having learned and gotten a taste, like you were talking about, Tyler, gets to the majors and now it's a different story because he's kind of figured some things out. And he sees how fast things move and what you have to do. But the other thing, when you think about all that, you mentioned a Corbin Martin. Corbin Martin, there is no way he's going to make the playoff roster, whether it be for an inning or two, long relief, or starting, until he can figure out the strike zone. Because the fact of the matter is, what we saw after Mother's Day was a guy that couldn't figure out how to throw strikes and didn't deal with high leverage situations very well. And when you have those two combinations and you know what the playoffs are like, it's not the right fit. So he's got a live arm. But, you know, as Berkman said about the Brewers pitchers last night, arms are a lot different than when guys finally become pitchers.
Yeah.
And Martin's got a long way to go to become a pitcher, but that's why I wouldn't put him on the playoff roster.
Now, if you're talking about making a move for a frontline starter, if you're saying, do the Astros go out and make a trade to get, because there's rumors.
Oh, I got a guy.
Kluber and Bauer are on the market. That's the rumor. Now, would I trade Tucker and Martin or anyone in the minor league organization to get a Kluber or a Bauer? Absolutely. I would absolutely do that. In fact, you've got two team options on Kluber's.
Kluber's the right contract.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's had his struggles here and there, but you know what? If you can get a guy like that.
He broke his arm this year, too.
Yeah, you absolutely get that guy, though, if you can make that move. If you can get a Bauer, which is never going to work on this team because of the clubhouse. But you know what's crazy is I was looking at trade rumors the other day. You want to know two names that are on the blocks?
Marcus Stroman.
No.
Oh, that's what
yeah, that's your guy. I'm not a big Betson Martinez of the Red Sox.
Because, no way.
Because of their bad start, people are suggesting, several people inside baseball are saying that the Sox could be like, well, forget it.
There's no way, because I mean, and they're both up for contracts coming up very, very soon, too. But man, I just can't see the Red Sox dumping out like that, because we know they open up the purse strings, and every year in free agency becomes a chance to rehaul their roster without ever having to start over. But Betts is a guy that so many teams would be dying to have, and like, it would just be too much of a pipe dream to realize he's so tight with Springer, and he's tight with guys, even
trying to find the, because when I saw it, I was like, no freaking way.
Bregman and Springer are tight with him. Yeah. I mean, he's got relationships. He'd be a perfect fit. But again, we just got done talking about how great the outfield is and how many different options you have when you want to go defense, or just, you know, strength with numbers and defense when you put the corners of Reddick and Brantley along with Springer. So I don't think that they need that.
Yep.
But I'm with you in terms of, I think that they'll still, all the way to the trade deadline, their main focus is going to be another frontline starting pitcher.
So here's the article I found on the Betts thing. So this was from MLB.com. 10 trade candidates to eye. This was written by Mark Feinsand. Okay. I don't know if I said that right. But in regards to, because that was what caught my eye from the article. I was like, the rest of it, I was like, yeah, we kind of know all these names. But Betts and J.D. Martinez, he said, two executives tabbed the pair of Red Sox stars as their picks to be traded citing Boston's poor start. Of course, Kluber's injury depletes what was already a fairly shallow pool of playoff contenders in the AL, and Boston's path back to the playoffs is starting to take shape. That was before the Rangers beat them. Of the two mentioned, Betts' trade seems like a more far-fetched scenario. He said, as for Martinez, an NLGM cited the opt-out clause in his contract, which allows the slugger to tear up the final 3 years of his $62 million owed to him to become a free agent next fall. So this is a legitimate talks among NL GMs. Like that isn't just something that this guy threw out. Apparently a GM talked about the fact that JD Martinez could be a trade candidate for the Boston Red Sox.
Here's the other thing. Here's the other reason why, Barry.
I'm not suggesting the Astros go get either of these guys, no. By the way. But Mookie Betts does have at least one year of arbitration left. So he's got at least 1 year of team control, if not two.
It's something we just got to talk about, even with Yordan Alvarez. But you know the other reason why Betts is the guy you hang on to and Martinez is the guy you shop?
Age.
And the fact that Martinez is basically a designated hitter.
Yeah.
He's a liability in the outfield, and there's no other place to put him as opposed to the best, I would say the best corner outfielder in the game in Mookie Betts, mm-hmm. defensively, and you've got all the things that he brings to the table offensively. And yeah, JD Martinez is a professional hitter, but the days of the DH having all that big money power,
yeah,
starting to slide by the wayside.
Yeah.
Even with a Miguel Cabrera and guys like that, they're trying to put him back at first base and things like that. But if you can't find a position in the field for these guys, it becomes tougher and tougher to pay them all that money mm-hmm. and get the kind of production you're expecting out of them.
Outside of Bauer, I'm not sure there's anyone I'm absolutely in love with as far as an arm goes, and that includes Madison Bumgarner. You know me.
Yeah.
I've not been high on him or Stroman. Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think both of those guys are very good pitchers. Mm-hmm. They're just a little too inconsistent for me to give away the top prospects in the organization and them potentially be a rental.
I don't want Mad Bum simply because I think his best days are behind him.
But
I'd love to see a Brent Strom get a lively arm that's been a decent pitcher, pretty good pitcher, and see if he could get him to the next level like a Garrett Cole and so many others.
Right. You get a 3, get a 4, and you see what Brent Strom can do.
And you don't
maybe
have to give up
boost
as much.
Their value. Absolutely.
That's the bigger
exactly.
thing. Too,
absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So 1 hour in the book. Still 2 hours to go to the big show. Lots more to get to. And if you want to chime in, we appreciate it. 713-780-3776. HR&P Lister Line. Call, text, or hit us up with Twitter on the second hour of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.